to say it again like I do every week. It is good to be in the house of the Lord. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to continue on with our new series, Therefore, Do Not Worry. How many people this last week that were here last Sunday had those words go through your mind? Do not worry. Things come up, do not worry. My mom was saying, we were talking about it, and she said, I never realized how many times Jesus said over and over and over again in that one passage, do not worry. Amen? So he's trying to get something across to us. And we talked about that in verse 24, it kind of sets the precedence of why you have the ability not to worry. Because Jesus is telling us you can't serve two masters. You have to make a choice. Is it going to be money or God? And we talked about last week that money, it's a terrible taskmaster. It will take you through the ringer and back. It is not a fun God to serve. And Jesus is saying, therefore, and you always have to go, okay, what is this there for, right? So you have to go back and see what it's there for. So we need to choose God as our Lord and Master, not money. Say, I choose God. And if you choose the Lord, this is what it's there for. It's to tell you, that very first verse, do not worry. I wanted to read it to you in the Passion Translation because it's so powerful. Don't worry, these aren't all my notes. I promise. Verse 25 says this. This is why I tell you to never be worried about your life. That's pretty powerful. Jesus again is saying, this is why I tell you never to be worried about your life, for all that you need will be provided. Somebody say amen. All that you need will be provided, such as food and water and clothing, everything your body needs. Say everything. Isn't there more to your life than a meal? Isn't your body more than clothing? And we're going to stop there this week because this is the part we're really going to focus on this week. When he says to us, I tell you, never be worried about your life. In the Amplified, it says it this way. Therefore, I tell you, stop. It's a little bit more of a fatherly thing here. Therefore, I tell you, stop being worried or anxious. Now, listen to what anxious means. Perpetually uneasy, distracted. Can you see why worrying is a problem? Because if the Lord is asking you to do something and you're constantly worried, you're not going to be focused on the thing he's asking you to do or calling you to do because it says you are perpetually uneasy and distracted. We have got to get to the place where we stop worrying so we can be focused on what God has called us to do. So don't be worried or anxious about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body as to what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? I don't feel it's ever a coincidence when I'm getting ready to do something and we turn on EMIC in the morning and guess what he preached on for their tithes and offering? This verse. I was like, Lord, that's so amazing. And I was getting ready, but I was kind of listening and getting ready, and he was talking about inside voices and outside voices. I was like, well, that's weird. What is that? In my mind as a mom, I'm thinking inside voices is your quiet voice. And outside voice is your loud voice, right? But that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about our inside voice is that voice inside of us that knows the truth. And the outside voice is the one that can get caught up in the worry and the anxiousness of the day. So once I figured that out, it all made sense, right? He was saying the outside voice is the one that's always barking and yelling about the things you need. Oh, but what about my bill? And what about this? And what about that? And will I have enough for this? And will I have enough for that? That's the outside voice. Because that's the voice that on the outside of us. Amen? But what we need to go back to is the inside voice that says, I'm not going to worry. My God will provide for all my needs. I'm not going to worry about what I have to eat. I'm not going to worry about what I need to drink. I'm not going to worry about my clothing. Or let's make this a little more modern. I'm not going to worry about my budget. I'm not going to worry about my house payment. I'm not going to worry about the things my kids need. I'm not going to worry about the things my husband or my wife needs. I'm not going to worry about the things that are coming up. I'm not going to worry about college tuition. I'm not going to worry about a job. I'm not going to worry about a car. I'm not going to worry. 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 Because God has called us, especially in these last days. He has something for each one of us to do. And I don't know about you, but I don't want to be distracted by worry. So often when the Lord will put on my heart to be praying for someone, it's amazing how many things will come in to worry about. Just watch it. When the Lord tells you the next time, I really want you to be praying for this person, you watch. Make a mental note to watch for how many things come up that you could worry about. I was shocked. It's like you'll get a phone call from this, or you'll get a bill in here, or an email about this, and all of a sudden your mind starts wandering. It's distracted. And you've spent 30 minutes figuring out all these other things that you are worrying about, wasting your time. Later on in this passage, it tells us, what can you do by worrying? You can't even increase a day into your life. You can't do anything about it. Amen? So we do not worry. Why don't you have to worry? Let's go back to the Passion Translation. I want to read that again to you. It says, you don't have to worry. Never be worried about your life. For all, somebody say all. Say it again. One more time. All that you need will be provided. Oh my goodness. All that you need will be provided. And then it says, such as food, water, and clothing. So we're not worrying about the outside things anymore. Because everything your body needs, He will provide. So when you're tempted, when an extra bill comes in, or an extra expense, or something unexpected comes up in your life, in your finances, you stop what you're doing and say, just actually take a step back. No. No, I'm not going to worry, because this is all on the outside, and God takes care of all that. All is a very tiny word, but it has a very large meaning. And it says right there, He will take care of all that you need. Amen? So therefore, do not worry. That's a powerful thing as tithers and givers. Making the Lord number one in your life. That's when you tithe and give, that's what it's telling the devil. No, God is number one. You've broken the curse in your life. You've taken, His hands are off when you tithe and you give. Amen? And so you get to enjoy the therefore and the blessings. So this week we learned we don't have to be concerned about anything on the outside. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings this morning. Father, I just thank You and I praise You for this powerful word that we're digging into about do not worry. Father, we don't want to be in that place where we are perpetually uneasy. That brings on all kinds of things that I can think of health-wise when you are perpetually uneasy about something. You're never at rest. God, we don't want to live like that. We want to live in Your peace. We want to live in Your comfort and Your joy. So when things rise up around us and people are all panicking and freaking out, we just go, not me. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart and know that He will be faithful to His word because He is my God and He will take care of all these things. We just praise You, Father. Anoint every seed that is sown today. We call in a hundredfold harvest, Father, so that we can give to every good work. And Lord, the things You've been showing me and sharing with me, the things You're going to be calling this church to do in these last days, Father, we need an abundance for every good work. We need an abundance for every good work. So when people give, it doesn't come out of their budget. It comes out of their special savings account that they're putting in there because they have so much overflow. Somebody say amen. That means so be it. And Lord, we just praise you and we thank you for that abundant harvest in Jesus' name to come in. And we give you all the praise and you all the glory, Father. And we thank you again that we do not have to worry. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Just stretch your hands out toward the giving nets. Let's make a statement of faith regarding your giving today. Just say, I believe, I receive the blessing of God on my finances. Harvesting angels, I send you out. Gather in my harvest from the north, south, east, and west. You know, church, I believe there are inheritances out there that you may not even know about, but the angels know about it. Something that was taken from you unjustly, right? Angels of God, we call those things in. Properties acquired, real estate, businesses, inheritances, jobs, raises, bonuses, benefits. Oh, we praise you for all these things, Father. Buildings and churches and the right automobiles. Somebody say debt-free. Automobiles, debt-free, properties and houses. Oh, is your faith there, church? Debt-free churches. Glory to God. Oh, and we thank you for it all, Jesus. By sowing our seed, we're declaring that we are redeemed from this world's economy. We're in a higher dimension, God's economy. And Lord, first and foremost, we declare that get this gospel preached around the world. Because that's the true riches, souls added to the kingdom without any distractions, without any worries. In Jesus' name, somebody shout, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. Hallelujah. Just give God a great big, just say, thank you, Jesus. That's good to say often, right? Not because he needs, you know, for his self-esteem. Because we need to be giving him thanks, right? A thankful heart. Oh, man, it's so good for us. Because there's so many things the enemy would try to use to get us, like Shelley was sharing, about worrying and strife and just distractions. We always need to come back and just say, thank you, Jesus. Even if some devil pops out and says, boo! Right? Thank you, Jesus. You've already got your foot on his neck. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. Well, I think we can go ahead and dismiss the children. Unless Pastor Shelley, anything else before we move on? Okay. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God bless you, kids. Have a great class. Here at Redeemed Church, we have church for kids. We don't babysit them. We don't give them a graham cracker and a little mat and say, you lay down and take a nap for the next 45 minutes, right? Just hesh. No. A lot of my ministry roots are in children's ministry. It's probably where I come up with this kind of stuff. It looks like a children's ministry thing, right? Well, we're all children of God, right? Hallelujah. Well, let's pray for today's message. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word to us today. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear what your spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, we're going to continue what we're kind of, I guess it would be week two, on going over Redeemed Church's core values. And our theme for this year is ministering on the culture of the kingdom of God. Because how many know there is a culture war going on? The devil is waging war. He knows his time is running out, so he's just got to get crazier and crazier and crazier. The crazy thing, though, is that a lot of Christians, you know, Christians, the Bible compares us to sheep. And sheep sometimes can get, like Shelley was talking about, get lost in the, you know, cares of life and this kind of stuff. And before long, they're following other voices. And Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and another voice they will not follow." Amen? So as sheep, as Jesus's children, as the children of our Heavenly Father, we have to be real good at deciphering his voice from the devil's voice, because the devil does not show up in red pajamas and a pitchfork, right? The Bible, he's actually a fallen angel. I mean, he was a glorious cherub, Lucifer. But pride was found in him, the Bible says. And he was so deceptive, church, that he deceived a third of the angels of God to follow him and try to overtake heaven. I mean, it's in the Word, right? He's been at this for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. I just turned 50. He's been at this thousands and thousands and thousands of years. But guess what, church? He has no new tricks, right? But as believers, we have to be people that are so tuned in to what God's Word says. Because the devil knows what God's Word says, and he twists it like he does with everything else, right? Well, God is love. Therefore, love all beliefs. That's the culture of the world, isn't it? That's just one example. That's why God has us this year focusing in on what is the culture of God's kingdom. Amen? And I felt like he just wanted us to start off the year in the core values of our church, because the core values of the church really are the culture of the church, right? Amen. So our foundation text, if you have a notes page there, if anyone did not get a notes page, we may have some out front there. Otherwise, do you need one, Walter? You good? Okay. Amen. We just print those for you to have, right? They're just useful. You can keep them in a notebook if you want to, or snap a picture of them, or make an airplane. It's up to you, right? I work for the Lord, right? I just do what he tells me to do. Matthew 6:33, this is our foundation text, really for one of our foundation texts, really for the year. Matthew 6:33, but seek first, somebody say first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Amen? So first priority, last week we ministered on a core value of our church is the love of God, right? How many know the love of God is the culture of the kingdom? But listen, if you didn't hear last week's message, go online. Loving God doesn't mean we love everything. Amen? I've seen bumper stickers and t-shirts and hatred is not a family value, or those such, you know, type of statements. Well, I got news for you. Hate is a Bible value, not hatred of people. That's where the devil tries to get in there and create strife and division, and, you know, between whether it's male, female, or nationalities, or even doctrinal things in the church. That's the devil, right? No, the Bible says hate what is evil, not who is practicing evil. Because I don't know about you, but I'm still in a fleshly body. Everything I do and say 24/7 isn't always pleasing to Jesus, I have a feeling, right? Amen? So we hate what is evil, and we cling to that which is good. Well, where do we find out what that is? Somebody, if you have one of these, a Bible, just say, right here. Right here is where we find out what is good and what is evil. And like I said, this is nothing new. Way back to the Garden of Eden, there was a tree. Remember the tree? And what was the tree called? The knowledge of good and evil. And that was Adam's tithe. All these other trees, gorgeous trees, amazing garden. God said, this is all yours. This is mine. Do not touch it. This one tree. Now, there wasn't anything mystical about that tree. I don't believe it was sparkling and glowing and glass around it. No. What made it different was a command was associated to it. This tree is mine. If you touch that tree, you will surely die. Amen, right? So you know the story. The devil deceived Eve and she ate, and Adam willfully, oh yeah, man, she's hot. If she's going that way, I'm going with her. Right? And there, that's where all of this mess began. Amen? But glory to God for another tree that came thousands of years later. The tree where Jesus was crucified. And when he was crucified, all the sin problem, all the sickness problem, all the racism problem, all the perversion problems, right? All of that stuff the devil was using to steal, kill, and destroy was crucified that day. Once and for all. Jesus said, it is finished. Amen. But if you turn on the news today, doesn't look like the devil's quite finished. Does it? Right? Well, he's been given his eviction notice. But like any psychopath dictator who's been kicked out, he's going to pillage and burn and destroy on his way out, and that's what he's been doing for the past 2,000 years. Glory to God. But we're getting closer and closer and closer and closer to the end, much like a woman with labor pains. Those labor pains get closer and closer and closer until the birth, right? Well, as the church, do we just need to sit by idly and allow the devil to do whatever he wants to do? Somebody say, no. not at all. We rise up against him. We seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? And then he says, all these things will be added unto you. In other words, I don't have to go out there and chase things, right? Chase people, chase stuff. The nicer, you know, the newest car, the most modern iPhone, right? Buildings and, amen. We don't have to go out there chasing things. Now, God knows you need things, right? Nice things, glorious things. But my Bible says, if I seek him first, can I just tell you this? That's Shelly and I, we celebrated 22 years of marriage. This weekend, I wasn't chasing people around to find a wife, bouncing church to church, checking the bars, scrolling through old contacts. I was seeking first the kingdom of God. Yes, I felt pressure in that area of my life. Yes, I'm in my late 20s. Jesus, is this the one? Lord, is this the one? Dated a couple other people, nice gals, but they weren't the right one, right? So you keep your eyes on Jesus. You don't quit serving God because something doesn't look like it's going right. Somebody say, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Glory to God forevermore. Amen? So the word first means firstly in time, place, order, or importance. Before, at the beginning, chiefly, first of all, this is why it's good. The first thing you do in the morning, spend time with Jesus. If you got to get up a little earlier, do it. Amen? And you can check in with him throughout the day. Some of us have jobs where you can have something playing in your ear while you're driving, or, you know, so you have stuff going through the day even. But those first parts of the day, it's real important. There's something about when I first wake up, especially if I get up early, my mind, my soul, my body aren't quite with it yet. But my spirit is like a sponge. And when I spend time with Jesus first, my soul and my body are generally under the control of my spirit the rest of the day. If I didn't have time, right? If I skipped a day, then my soul and my body, there'll be a struggle throughout the day. Amen, right? Somebody say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Well, I want to look today at our core value that is we live by faith, right? Somebody say, we live by faith. We are a faith church. Hallelujah, right? Faith pleases God. I want to show you a little video here as we get going with this. I'm going to grab this microphone. And I want to show you a little video clip that the kids showed me that I thought was really funny.
Oh, hey. Ah. Oh. Ah. 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 Oh.
And now back to our regularly scheduled message, right? The reason I wanted to show you that, I don't know if you got it or not, but it's the guy walking through the calendar of COVID through the past 2 years, right? How many know that's not what faith does, right? Faith people, we stay even keeled. We're not moved by what we see, by what we hear, by what the voices are saying in the world. Yeah, we understand there's a devil out there to steal, kill, and destroy, but we're not going to be going up and down and up and down with whatever he's doing. And if you haven't noticed, the devil is real good at, let's give him some props. He's real good at switching things up like a pathological liar does. That's all he is. He's a pathological liar, right? Look at this. Well, yeah, we need to address that. Well, no, now look at this. Well, no, now look at this. Right? Somebody say, I live by faith. Well, what does that mean? Well, we're going to talk about that because this is a huge part of the culture of God's kingdom. And it's a core value of your church, right? So Romans 1, 16 and 17 says this. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Somebody say, the just shall live by faith. Amen. Right? And faith means, a good definition of faith is reliance. Just that word reliance means confident or trustful dependence upon Christ for salvation. And constancy in such profession. See, what we saw there was inconsistency. Right? If Jesus is Lord of my life, my faith is in him, period. Somebody say, period. He's already defeated COVID and any other thing the devil could invent, right? That doesn't mean we don't have battles, but he's faithful to get us through and over the battle. Hallelujah. So we keep our eyes focused on him, right? The just shall live by faith. Amen? The just will live by faith. God approves faith in him. Amen? Now, Acts 16:31 says this. So they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. And John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, somebody say no one. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it's real important. I've heard of other, you know, sects of Christianity that have like saving ordinances, they'll call it. Where, yeah, Jesus did that, but you also need to fill in the blank in order to be saved. Well, this is not true. According to God's holy word, the only thing, somebody say only thing. Now, this is important to say as part of our, you know, foundation, right? The only thing anyone can do to be saved from hell and get into heaven is accept the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did on their behalf. Amen? That's it. Somebody say, that is all. If you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord and King of your life, you are what the Bible calls born again. Glory to God. Amen. In other words, this is not a performance thing. Like I've had many jobs in sales before. And if you fall below the line, there's one group I'm in now with the business that we're in, and you want to stay in the green. I mean, if you're in the red, okay. Ah! Right? If you're in the gray, you are in danger of the judgment. Right? Well, don't you know Jesus, he is our salvation. He's our salvation yesterday, today, and forever. And somebody say, he's all I need. All I need. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Somebody say, the just will live by their faith. And your faith is in him, in his finished work on your behalf. And so that's what, as a church, as a ministry, honestly, I have no business talking to you about anything else besides what Jesus has done on your behalf. Somebody say glory to God. Because there's a lot of things that people just leave on the table that Jesus paid for with his blood. Amen? And that's what, somebody say, let's see what this faith thing can do. Hallelujah. And we talk about, you know, the power of faith and speaking words of faith and confessing things and finding it in God's word. Well, the Lord has shown me as I've been studying this week, there's a couple of prerequisites that we shouldn't skip. God is all for us pressing into faith, believing him for buildings and houses and people to get saved and whatever it is he put in your heart to believe him for, press, 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 use your faith, use your faith. Glory to God, right? We're an aggressive church. But there is some prerequisites. Look at the next verse here, right? James 2, 14 through 24. All right? Now this is Jesus' brother talking, right? Amen. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food and one of you says to him, depart in peace, be warmed and filled. There's a good faith confession, right? But you do not give them the things which are needed for the body. What does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, is dead. Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Somebody say, praise you, Jesus, you did the work. Right? Amen? Now, he's not talking about me earning my salvation. Right? Verse 18 says this, but someone will say, you have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Now listen to this. Even the demons believe and tremble, right? I have faith in God. I have faith in God. Good. So does the devil. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works? And by works faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which says, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. You see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. I would say it this way too, right? When I got born again, I came to Jesus. I didn't come to him with a list of everything I've ever done right, and therefore that qualifies me to be born again. No, that's not a good way to come to God. Mr. Judge, I have not done this. Here's what I've done. I'm sorry. You come to him and just repent, right? But what you do after you're born again, we do because we're saved. You see, right? I don't go out and party and drink and do weed and sleep around, not in order to be saved. I don't do those things because I'm saved. You see? Those are works, right? I go out, I go to church, right? I share my faith, I walk in love, I study God's word, not in order to be saved. I do those things because I am saved, because I love God. It's really a love thing, isn't it? See, that's a big difference between me and the devil. We both believe in God, but he does not love God. Hardly. Zero. The devil has zero tolerance for God. And our Heavenly Father has zero tolerance for the devil. Right? Amen. Well, look at Luke 3. Here's another good thing to look at here. We got a march here, but I wanted to read you some of these things because these are good prerequisites for us using our faith to press into things that God has for us, because we are a faith church, we live by faith. But what does that mean, right? Well, let's look at a couple things. This is John the Baptist, and John the Baptist did not mince words with people, right? John 3, I'm going to read verses 7 through 15. John the Baptist, okay? Then he said to the multitudes that came to be baptized by him, "Brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore," here we go, "bear fruits worthy of repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.'" Right? "For I say to you that God is able to raise children to Abraham from these stones." Well, I'm of this, I'm of that. I don't need what you're saying, John. I'm a part of this religious group or that religious group or this denomination or that denomination. John called him out, man. "What are you guys doing here? You're not here to repent." Right? "And even now, the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Therefore, every tree which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." So the people asked him, saying, "What shall we do then?" That sounds like action, doesn't it? "And he answered and said to them, 'He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has one.'" Right? "And he who has food, let him do likewise." There is an action of faith. These people were stingy, selfish, hoarding, right? Acting all holy, but no action to their faith. They're all talk and no show. Man, we can't be that way, church, right? "Then tax collectors also came to be baptized, and he said to them, 'Teacher, what shall we do?' He said to them, 'Collect no more than what is appointed for you.'" What are those? Actions behind their faith. Well, I showed up to church. Doesn't that mean I'm, you know, I remember I used to have a, back in the 80s, there was a Christian rapper named Michael Peace. I got into some Christian rap back then. And one of the parts of his song said, "If you're in a chicken," I don't know, I won't try to rap it because I won't be able to do that. But basically, if you're in a chicken coop, does that make you a chicken? If you're in a garage, does that make you a car? In other words, there ought to be fruits to being a Christian, right? "Likewise, soldiers came to him and said, 'And what shall we do?' He said to them, 'Do not intimidate anyone or accuse falsely, and be content with your wages.'" I mean, this is just as powerful as him dunking people in the water. Right? There's some things that should be accompanying my faith, right, that reflect we're believers. Amen? That qualify us. You guys, faith is a precious commodity in the kingdom of heaven. God doesn't trust it with just anyone. A lot of people that say, well, that faith thing doesn't work. Maybe they're not working. Have you ever considered that? Maybe they have things that need to be cleaned up out of their life so that now they can use faith accurately. Hallelujah, right? Now, as the people were in expectation, glory to God for expectation. He preached the word, and now the people are unified in their faith. Glory to God. In all reason in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I'm not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand. He will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Somebody say, I'm going to be the wheat that he gathers into the barn, right? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So what are we talking about? Works that accompany our faith. Amen? Now, I got to that point last night going through everything, and I thought I was finished. And the Lord said, no, no, you need to take them all the way through. We don't want to end on this note. Because I'll tell you what, we are one decision away from being right on with Jesus. And I'm talking about, this is not a one-time decision. This is a decision that I make, that we need to be making every day, multiple times a day, right? Staying in faith, staying in a place of faith where I know it's all about Jesus. My faith is in the finished work that he did, and yet, as a follower of Jesus Christ, there needs to be some fruit of my faith in him that separates me from the devil. Somebody say amen. So as a believer, if I come to church and I lift my hands and I dance around and I read my Bible a couple times a week, right? But I'm mean, I'm dishonest or immoral or drinking and doing stuff that I ought not be doing. It doesn't even have to be anything terrible, right? That's why my faith is going to be limited. Yes, I'm going to heaven, but man, anything I want to believe God for, there's going to be some blockage in my spiritual arteries that Jesus and the Holy Ghost and the Word and myself and my brothers and sisters in Christ, we can help one another to keep pressing forward. Keep pressing forward. Because there's a whole world out there, church, that is on their way to hell. And God needs clean vessels, much like a surgeon cannot use dirty instruments to get a job done, right? He told me years ago, he said, Steve, you're my instrument. Not to say I'm the only one, right? But that could be music and praise. That could be an instrument of battle and war, or like a medical instrument. And me, that's this church. Right? So as you and I are pressing into God and not playing around with stuff, if he's even leaning on me a little bit to change something, I'm talking about things that seem like little things, I ought to be quick to act on that. Amen? Because my faith depends on it, right? The things that I'm believing God for depend on my responsiveness to him. My response time. There's a big thing out there about response time. About a month ago, I was doing a service job at Washington Square Mall. And I pull up early before anyone else is there. It's not even open yet. And there is a SUV on its side on fire in the parking lot. I drove up and I think, what are the maintenance guys having a bonfire? You know, some of the place is kind of vacated. As I pulled up, I'm like, no, that's a car. On its side, no other vehicles around it. And then this one dude that looked like he was off the streets kind of thing walks up and starts trying to kick the back windshield open. I thought, maybe I should call 911 about this. So I called 911, and God bless 911, right? But it's like, ring, 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 ring. Hi, this is 911. If this is an emergency, say emergency. Emergency. Hold, 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 right? If this is a fire, say fire, fire. And finally, I got somebody online, right? Praise the Lord. And trying to describe to them what I am seeing. They're like, you mean it's on fire right now? Yes, ma'am. I'm watching it burn. In fact, it just exploded like a little poof came up out of it. Oh, and which part of the mall are you at? I'm like, you know what? I'm disoriented. I came in by Panera Bread, all right? That's where I came through. Just look for the smoke. You'll see, right? And within about 5 minutes, here they come, man. And I'll tell you what, it is the coolest thing to see a fireman be a fireman. I mean, they roll up, and she's like, is there anyone in the car? I'm like, I don't know, right? So praise God there wasn't, because you immediately pray, take authority, right? Well, he pulls up, pulls the hose out, walks up and kicks the windshield in, and just within seconds, the thing is. But response time is critical in that particular profession, right? But in faith, my response time to Jesus shouldn't be months and years. A lot of the church, a lot of the body of Christ has been ignoring him, because he's not going to be pushy. He'll give a nudge. He'll give a reminder. But people can ignore him and keep him at an arm's length for years. And it will affect their faith. Now they're born again. But I'll tell you what. When I get to heaven, I want him to look me in the eye and say, Steve, well done. Well done. Now I know I didn't do everything right. But your heart can be perfect before him. Amen? I want to close by reading, Romans 4:17. Because this is where Jesus wants us to get to. Somebody say, I'm getting there, right? Well, Mark 11:23, we love those scriptures, where Jesus says, if you say to the mountain, right? Speaking to mountains in life, things that are in our way. A lot of people aren't getting the mountain to move because they are the mountain. Their unbelief, their disobedience, their rebellion is blocking their vision of God. So when they come up on a mountain, they try to speak to it. They're like those seven sons of Sceva. You remember the Bible story? Where these guys go out to this demonic guy and they're like, we cast you out in the same Jesus name that Paul uses. Ah, right? Bunch of college frat boys, right? Oh, let's go try it. They got their pints and their weed or whatever. Let's go out and try it. And the demon-possessed guy says, Paul, I know. Jesus, I know, but who in the blah, blah, blah are you? And he overpowers them and whoops them all. They learned a valuable lesson, didn't they? Well, as believers, if our faith is lined up right, if we're not getting clogged up with areas that we're resisting Jesus, then our faith will be a lot more effective. Somebody say, glory to God. Well, Romans 4, I want to read to you as we close, verses 16 through 22. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, verse 17, I have made you father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God who gives life to the dead. Here we go. God who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they did. Somebody say, man, that's faith. That's the faith lane. Brother Copeland talks about being in the faith lane. Hallelujah. You see, this is where Jesus wants me to live. But I can't get there if I'm not living in union with Jesus. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations. According to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, He did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God. See, if we're keeping Jesus at an arm's length, we'll have a lot more fear, unbelief, and uncertainty. We'll be like that guy we just showed the video of. Right? Somebody say, no, no, absolutely not. I refuse to live that way. Right? He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. A couple more verses here. And being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform. So it's not my faith performing this, it's God performing this. But if I'm out of harmony and out of sync with God, then things will be out of harmony and out of sync in my life. This will affect every other relationship on the planet that I have with my wife, with my kids. If there's issues there, it's because I have issues between me and Jesus. Right? Amen. And therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Somebody just say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's look at Mark 11, 23. I want to look at this one, too. See, the Lord, last night, he was like, just take him all the way through. It's like, all right, let's do this. This is where he wants us to get to, right? I believe we are in the name of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark 11, 23. This is where we can live, church, every day of our life, living in the faith lane. That's when devils run. I don't want devils laughing at me. I want devils running from us, right? When I drive through Portland and pray in the Spirit, amen, I don't want devils laughing and mocking. I want them fleeing. I want to see improvements, right? Over our schools, our families, when our prayers to be effective, our faith to be effective, these are the kind of things what we're talking about, right? So Mark 11, 23 through 24. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Hallelujah, right? Somebody say, I live by faith, right? For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. You can read the whole chapter. It talks about Jesus cursing a tree that wasn't bearing fruit, and they came back through, and the tree was dead. And the disciples are like, Lord, this is the tree you spoke to, and it died. And he goes on this, right? Have faith in God, right? Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever the things you ask in prayer when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him. Forgive him. That is the work. Amen? That is a work of faith. That's a work of salvation, a work of righteousness, forgiving people. If I'm not forgiving people and I'm talking to mountains, I might as well just be yelling at a wall. Right? Amen, right? That your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your heavenly Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Glory to God. How many of you want to have faith that works? Amen? And the Holy Ghost will help me to be more selective about what I'm talking to. I don't just make stuff up. Well, let's try my faith on this. No, you pray in the Spirit about that thing. You get orders from headquarters. How shall I say this, Father? Jerry Seville calls it a prayer of petition. And you can write it out. You can make a statement of your faith. Have scriptures that back it up. Check your heart for anything that the Lord needs to correct. Brother Copeland is one of the big words for this year is a year of correction for the body of Christ, for our country. How many praising God, the Lord is correcting things in our nation. But don't you know, it's great, we can all get excited about that, but that means he's going to be correcting things in me. And in my family, and you know what I'm saying? Amen? So we just got to be open to him correcting us and guiding us and leading us. And then we'll get to a place where, man, we speak to stuff and it happens. And God is right there behind it. In some cases, you won't even have it out of your mouth and it's happening. Now that's why? Because you are in unity with the Father on these things. I mean, that's glorious, right? Amen? For our families, for ourselves, the church, our community, our country. I mean, other people are counting on you to get there. And me to get there. Because they are lost. A lot of people out there. I mean, we're just, you know, we're in church today, but a lot of people out there are just absolutely, they don't know up from down, left from right, in from out. They have no clue. That's why you and me have no business being out of unity with our Lord and Savior. And you know, it's not seven steps to get back to oneness with Jesus. It's one step. Right? Just say, Jesus! Ah, there we go. I apologize, Lord, for wherever I've been a knucklehead. Help me, Jesus, to address those things and repent of those things and be clean of those things. Amen. Hallelujah. On Saturday nights, I'm not watching rated R movies. Or any night. Right? I'm not bickering with Shelly at home through the week. You know how difficult that would be to come and tell you about the goodness of God if Shelly and I are bickering all week? Amen. Because it's so vital that we stay in oneness with our Savior. Amen. Those are just a couple... example. Go ahead and stand up on your feet. We're just going to pray and just commit this time to Jesus. Just lift your hands to the Lord and say, Jesus, I surrender all of my life to you. I choose to live by faith in the finished work that you completed on my behalf. Oh, I thank you, Father. I praise you, Father. I praise you, Jesus, for the mighty works that you've done. Holy Spirit, we invite you to shed light on things that you want to correct in our lives, areas where we've been hardened toward you, resistant toward you, rebellious toward you, really, Lord. And we lay those things at your feet. And we thank you, Lord, that our faith in you is going to be more and more and more alive, more and more effective. We are going to be instruments that you can use to bring life and healing to the world, God. And it all starts, Lord, with our oneness with you. And we praise you for that now. Oh, just thank him for it, church. Just thank him for the blood. Thank him for the word. Thank him for the blood that cleanses us and brings us to oneness with him. And Lord, I thank you that you're going to put words in our mouths to be confessing. Words in our mouths to be speaking in faith. Hallelujah. And we're going to stick with your word, God. Faith in Jesus all the days of our life. Somebody just say amen.